Hey there, and welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're talking about Scott Sampson's book, How to Raise a Wild Child. Sophie, I have to ask, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you hear the title?
Hey there, Sam. Well, I immediately think about my own childhood, running around the neighborhood until the streetlights came on. But these days, kids are more likely to be swiping screens than digging in the dirt, and that's exactly the problem this book tackles head-on.
Right, and it's not just about nostalgia. Sampson calls it nature deficit disorder, which isn't a medical diagnosis, but it's this cultural crisis where kids are disconnected from the natural world, and it's having real consequences for their health and development.
Yeah, and he's not anti-technology at all. He's careful about that. But he points out that a kid who can name 100 Pokemon but can't identify a single bird in their backyard has a knowledge base that's pretty shallow. It's disconnected from the living world.
That line really stuck with me. And he says the fix isn't just forcing kids outside or scheduling a bunch of outdoor activities. It's about something he calls nature mentoring.
Yes, and the heart of that is the ABCs of nature connection: attention, balance, and curiosity. Let's start with attention. He says modern life trains our attention to be narrow, focused on screens, but nature rewards a soft fascination, that gentle wandering gaze.
So it's not about lecturing a kid about the water cycle. It's about pointing out a dewdrop on a spider web and letting their wonder take over. He suggests things like sit spots, where a kid returns to the same place day after day to notice the subtle changes.
And there's this game he mentions called I Notice. You turn a walk into a treasure hunt for patterns, sounds, textures. It's about opening the senses, not filling the brain with facts.
Okay, so what about balance? I feel like this is where I struggle.
Oh, me too. Balance is about the rhythm between doing and being, between structured activities and unstructured exploration. He argues that true connection happens in the margins, in the hours spent building forts or lying in the grass watching clouds.
So we need to protect wild time just as fiercely as we protect homework time or screen time. That's a whole new mindset for me.
Exactly.
And the mentor knows when to step back and let the child lead, and when to step in with a question or a piece of knowledge that deepens the experience. You're creating a safe container for exploration, not filling it with pre-packaged lessons.
And that brings us to curiosity, which is the engine. Sampson says kids are born natural scientists, but their curiosity gets squelched by a culture that values correct answers over good questions.
And here's the powerful part. He urges parents to embrace I don't know as a teaching tool. When a kid asks why the sky is blue, you can say, I don't know, let's find out together. That turns you from an authority into a fellow traveler.
That's so counterintuitive. We're trained to have all the answers, but admitting ignorance models the process of discovery. It teaches the kid that not knowing is the beginning of an adventure, not a failure.
Yes.
And he gives specific mentoring moves, like asking open-ended questions, using analogies, and telling stories that weave facts into a narrative.
So then he takes this and applies it to different ages. For little kids, birth to 7, it's the romantic stage. It's all about sensory experience. A toddler doesn't need to know the names of trees. They need to feel the bark, smell the rain, splash in puddles.
And he also suggests creating a nature table at home, where you display found treasures like feathers and stones. That makes the home an extension of the outdoors.
Then for ages 7 to 11, it's the precision stage. That's when kids are ready for more focused learning. It's the perfect time to introduce binoculars, magnifying glasses, field guides. But he warns against making it dry and academic.
Right. The learning should always follow the child's lead. If they're obsessed with puddles, you explore evaporation and the creatures that live there. You use their interests as a gateway.
And for teenagers, 12 to 18, it's the generalization stage. That's about moving beyond the backyard into the wider world, through camping trips or service projects. It's where ecology and conservation become personally relevant.
And I love that he talks about nearby nature. He says wildness isn't a place, it's a quality of attention. A crack in the sidewalk with a dandelion is a wild place. A patch of weeds in a vacant lot is an ecosystem.
So you could be a neighborhood naturalist, learning the names of the common birds and plants around you. You don't need to travel far to find wonder. That's so freeing.
And he addresses technology too. He's a realist. Screens aren't going away. So he suggests a tech-nature integration, like using a smartphone app to identify a flower or record a bird song.
But the key is nature first. The screen should be a supplement to direct experience, not a replacement. If you're staring at your phone while walking through the woods, you're missing the point.
Exactly. And the book culminates in a call for cultural shift. This isn't just about individual families. It's about schools embracing outdoor learning, communities protecting green spaces, and policymakers recognizing the benefits of nature connection.
Because the future of the planet depends on a generation that cares deeply about the natural world. And he points to the Forest School movement as proof that a different way is possible.
But ultimately, this book is about love. It's about the love between a parent and child, and the love that can bloom between a person and the more than human world. He's not giving you a checklist. He's inviting you to slow down and rediscover the magic outside your door.
And you don't need to be an expert naturalist. You just need to be willing to say, I don't know, let's find out, and show up with an open heart. The wild child isn't the one who knows everything about nature. It's the one who feels at home in it.
And that feeling of belonging, that's the greatest gift we can give. You know, if you want to dive deeper into this, the whole library is over on 7minutebooks.com/app. They have over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. And it's just $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. So, in the end, it's about raising children who feel that the Earth's rhythms are their rhythms, and its story is their story. That's a sacred task, and this book is a warm, wise manual for it. We'll see you in the next one.